Wow, it's really amazing to see just how fast AI is moving these days.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago that getting a language model to just write like a decent paragraph felt like a huge accomplishment.
Right.
And now we're talking about systems that can actually reason through complex problems, and the pace of development is it's just mind-blowing.
It really is. And if you think about how we got here, it's been quite a journey. You know,
Yeah.
models like OpenAI's O1 series really showed us what's possible when you start pushing these AIs to reason more deeply.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like they're showing their work, right?
Exactly. Like by giving them more steps to work through, you see their thought process unfold,
Wow.
and that's where things get really interesting.
And that's what I found so fascinating about the research paper you shared with me about DeepSeek AI and their latest models, DeepSeek R1 and DeepSeek R1.0.
Yeah.
They seem to be doing some really innovative things to enhance reasoning in these models, particularly using reinforcement learning, which we've talked about before, but they're taking it to another level.
Yeah, they are. And what's really exciting about this research is the focus on incentivizing these models to develop stronger reasoning skills. Like they're not just looking at how well they perform on a task, but how they actually arrive at the solution.
Right.
And DeepSeek AI has explored some very novel techniques that we're going to dive into today. And I think it has some pretty big implications for the future of AI development. So,
Let's get into it.
absolutely.
So the core of our deep dive today is this paper titled DeepSeek R1, Incentivizing Reasoning Capability in LLMs via Reinforcement Learning.
Right.
And our mission, if you will, is to really unpack how DeepSeek AI approached this challenge, what kind of breakthroughs they achieved, and ultimately what it all means for the future direction of AI.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, so one of the first things that jumped out at me in the paper was the emphasis on what happens after the initial massive training of these large language models, you know, the post-training phase.
Right.
Why is that stage so crucial for refining and honing these models' reasoning skills?
Well, think about it this way. That initial pre-training, where you feed the model massive amounts of data, that requires an incredible amount of computing power.
It's mind-boggling,
It is.
just the resources and energy involved.
Yeah, exactly. And so what's fascinating about post-training is that it allows us to take these already powerful models and fine-tune them for very specific goals, like reasoning, using comparatively fewer resources. Like imagine you have a supremely talented musician, right?
Okay.
They already possess a vast foundation of musical knowledge and skill, but then you focus their practice on a specific instrument or a particular genre to really hone their abilities in that
I
area.
like that analogy. It's like taking that existing talent and shaping it for a specific purpose.
Yeah, precisely. And that's what's happening in the post-training phase. We're taking these already capable models and refining them for tasks like complex reasoning.
And that brings us to DeepSeek R1.0, which really caught my attention. This model seems particularly groundbreaking because it was trained primarily using reinforcement learning. But here's the key difference: without any initial supervised fine-tuning.
That's right.
And that's pretty unusual, isn't it?
It is. Typically, we see a phase called supervised fine-tuning, or SFT, before the reinforcement learning, where you basically give the model examples of how to perform a task, like showing a student a textbook.
Right.
But with DeepSeek R1.0, they were essentially asking, can an LLM learn to reason effectively just by interacting with its environment, getting rewards for correct answers without that initial step-by-step guidance?
So it's like they're trying to see if it can learn to reason from scratch,
Yeah.
guided only by these rewards.
Yeah, exactly. They wanted to see if the model could figure out the reasoning process on its own, driven by the incentives of the reinforcement learning system.
That's really fascinating.
For the reinforcement learning approach itself, they use something called group relative policy optimization, or GRPO for short.
GRPO.
Okay. Yeah. And you can think of GRPO as a more efficient way for the AI to learn from its successes and failures. It doesn't require a separate judge or critic model to evaluate each step it takes.
Okay.
Instead, GRPO directly compares the performance of different approaches the model tries and optimizes based on which ones lead to better rewards. So it's a more streamlined way of learning.
That makes sense. So it's learning by comparing its own attempts and figuring out what works best.
Exactly.
And what kinds of rewards are we talking about here? How do you signal to an AI that it's reasoning correctly?
Well, for DeepSeek R1.0, they primarily use two types of rewards, both very straightforward and rule-based.
Okay.
The first type is accuracy rewards. So if the model solves a math problem and gets the correct final answer, it receives a reward. Or if it generates code that runs correctly and passes the tests, it gets rewarded.
So pretty straightforward. It's rewarded for getting the right answer.
Right. It's all about the outcome. But the second type of reward is just as important, and that's format rewards.
Format reward.
Yeah. They wanted the model to explicitly show its thought process. So they incentivized it to use special tags, think and think, to enclose the steps of its reasoning.
So it's not just about the answer, it's about showing its work, so to speak.
Precisely. They're rewarding the model for both the outcome and the process.
And I noticed that the paper specifically mentions they didn't use neural reward models, which we've discussed in the context of other AI systems. Why did they make that choice?
That's a really insightful observation, and there are a couple of key reasons for that, you see. Neural reward models are essentially AI models themselves.
Right.
And they're trained to evaluate the quality of text generated by other AIs.
Okay.
But the researchers were concerned about the potential for something called reward hacking.
Reward hacking.
Yeah, where the model might learn to game the reward system, you know, figure out how to get high reward scores without actually improving its reasoning.
That makes sense. It's like a student figuring out how to cheat on a test without actually learning the material.
Exactly. And on top of that, training and retraining these neural reward models can be very computationally expensive and add another layer of complexity.
So they opted for a simpler, more direct approach with these rule-based rewards to avoid those potential pitfalls.
Exactly. It was a strategic decision to keep things more straightforward and transparent.
And in terms of the actual training, what did that look like? What was the format of the prompts and the expected output from the model?
Well, they kept the training format intentionally, very simple.
Okay.
Essentially, it was a user-provided question or a prompt followed by the AI giving its reasoning steps within those think tags, and then the final answer enclosed in answer tags.
So it's like a structured way of presenting its thought process.
Right. And the key point here is that they deliberately avoided giving the model any specific instructions on how to reason or what kind of information to include in its thinking.
So they wanted to see what would emerge naturally without any preconceived notions of how it should reason.
Exactly. They were curious to observe what strategies the model would develop on its own through the reinforcement learning process.
And the results, at least on some of these benchmarks, are pretty remarkable.
They are, especially if you look at Figure 2 in the paper, which shows the model's performance on the AME 2024 benchmark, a challenging high school math competition.
Yeah, that one caught my eye.
The percentage of times the model got the problem right on its first try, the pass at one score, jumped from a measly 15.6% to a whopping 71% through this reinforcement learning process.
Wow, that's a huge improvement.
It is, and that brought its performance level right up there with OpenAI's 010912 model, which is a very impressive feat.
Especially considering it's starting from scratch with no supervised fine-tuning.
Exactly. And it gets even better if you consider using a majority vote approach where you have the model generate multiple responses and pick the most frequent answer. The score climbed even higher to 86.7%, surpassing 010912.
So it's essentially teaching itself to solve these really difficult math problems, and it's reaching a level comparable to some of the best models out there.
Right, and Table 2 in the paper provides a broader comparison across other tough reasoning challenges, like Math 500, GPQA, Diamond, and even coding tasks on Live Codebench and Codeforces. And it really highlights how effectively these reasoning abilities develop just through reinforcement learning.
Yeah, that table really shows the breadth of its capabilities, and it's a testament to the power of well-designed reinforcement learning.
Absolutely. When you provide the right incentives and the right environment, these models can learn to reason in very sophisticated ways.
And you mentioned the self-evolution process in the paper. What exactly does that refer to?
So one of the most fascinating things they observed during training was how the average length of the model's responses, particularly the reasoning steps within those think tags, increased over time.
Okay, so it's writing more, but what does that tell us?
Well, it suggests that the model was naturally learning to dedicate more thinking time to complex problems, you know, generating longer sequences of thought. This wasn't something explicitly programmed. It emerged organically as the model became better at solving problems.
So it's like it's figuring out on its own that it needs to think more deeply to solve harder problems.
Exactly. And they even saw behaviors emerge, like the model reflecting on its initial steps, exploring alternative approaches, almost like it was learning how to be more thorough in its reasoning.
It's almost like watching a student develop better study habits over time. They realize that just skimming the material isn't enough for the difficult concepts.
It's a great analogy, and it really highlights how this self-evolution process can lead to unexpected improvements.
And speaking of unexpected, the paper also mentions an aha moment that the researchers observed during training.
Oh, yes. This is a really fascinating moment, and Table 3 in the paper provides some insights into it. So in one particular instance, the model was working on a problem, and its reasoning, as shown within the think tags, revealed a point where it realized its initial approach wasn't going to work. And it actually used language that almost sounded human-like to express this shift in thought.
Like what?
You know, something to the effect of, oh, wait, I need to try a different approach here.
Wow.
This was a real aha moment, not just for the model, but for the researchers as well.
Yeah.
Because it's so beautifully demonstrated how reinforcement learning can lead to these sophisticated problem-solving strategies without us explicitly coding them in.
It's like the model is having a genuine moment of insight.
It really does seem that way. And mm-hmm. It's moments like these that make you realize just how powerful these learning algorithms can be.
Yeah. Absolutely. But despite these impressive results with DeepSeek R10, the paper also points out some limitations of this purely RL-driven approach.
Right. It wasn't all smooth sailing.
What were some of the drawbacks they encountered?
Well, one of the main issues was that the model's reasoning, while effective, wasn't always very easy for humans to understand. The readability was quite poor, which makes it difficult to analyze the model's thought process and to trust its solutions in real-world applications.
Right. If you can't understand how it arrived at an answer, it's hard to have confidence in it.
Exactly. And another issue is that the model sometimes mixed languages within its responses, which again isn't ideal for practical use.
Especially if you're trying to build a system that interacts with humans naturally.
Precisely. So while DeepSeek R10 showed great potential, these limitations needed to be addressed.
And that's where DeepSeek R1 comes in, which seems to build on the success of Zero, but aims to overcome these limitations.
Exactly. They took what they learned from DeepSeek R10 and incorporated some new techniques to further enhance the reasoning capabilities and make the model more usable.
And one of the key differences here is the introduction of cold start data.
Right. This was a crucial addition.
What exactly is cold start data, and why is it so important in this context?
So the cold start approach basically involves giving the model a small initial advantage by fine-tuning it on a relatively small data set of high-quality examples before they start the reinforcement learning process.
Okay.
And this cold start data set consists of examples of long step-by-step reasoning, what we call chain of thought data.
So it's like giving the model some good examples to learn from before it sets off on its own.
Exactly. It's like providing a student with a study guide or some well-written example essays before they start writing their own.
To give them a sense of the structure and the kind of thinking that's expected.
Precisely. And for DeepSeek R1, they used a few different methods to collect this cold start data.
Okay.
One method was few-shot prompting, where they gave the model a few examples of detailed reasoning processes to learn from.
So showing it what good reasoning looks like.
Right. Another method was to directly prompt other models to generate detailed answers that included steps like reflection and verification.
So using existing models to create training data?
Yeah. And interestingly, they even took some of the more readable outputs from DeepSeek R10 and had human experts refine them to serve as good examples.
That's interesting. So they're incorporating human expertise into the training process.
Yes. They recognize that even though the model can learn a lot on its own, there's still a lot of value in human guidance.
And what were the main benefits of using this cold start data? Did it actually make a difference?
Oh, absolutely. It had a significant impact.
Okay.
The paper highlights a couple of key advantages. First, it greatly improved the readability of the model's reasoning.
That's great, because as we talked about, that was one of the main limitations of the previous model.
Exactly. By having examples of a clear output format, using Speddle tokens to separate the reasoning steps from the final answer, the model learned to structure its responses more effectively.
Okay.
And it also helped to address the language mixing issue.
So it's not just reasoning better, it's also communicating its reasoning more clearly.
Precisely. And the second advantage they observed was the potential for even better overall reasoning performance.
So it's not just a matter of presentation. It seems like the cold start data might actually be helping the model reason more effectively.
That's the suggestion. And it makes sense. You know, if you start with a foundation of good examples, it might help the model learn more efficiently and develop more sophisticated reasoning patterns.
That's really interesting. It's like giving the model a head start in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. It's like guiding the model towards a more fruitful path of exploration.
And after this initial cold start phase, DeepSeek R1 also undergoes a reasoning-oriented reinforcement learning phase, similar to DeepSeek R10, but with an added component, right?
Yes, that's right. They kept the core RL process the same, using GRPO, but they introduced a new reward signal called a language consistency reward.
Okay, what's that all about?
So this reward was specifically designed to encourage the model to use the target language consistently throughout its reasoning process.
To prevent it from mixing languages?
Precisely. And this was a way to address that language mixing issue we discussed earlier.
So they're trying to strike a balance between strong reasoning and clear communication.
Exactly. They recognize that both aspects are crucial for a truly useful and reliable AI system.
And the training doesn't stop there, right?
No, it goes even further. They have a stage called rejection sampling and supervised fine-tuning.
That sounds quite involved.
It is, but it's a crucial part of the process.
Okay, so walk me through it.
So after the reinforcement learning phase, they use the best version of the model to generate a new data set for supervised fine-tuning.
Okay.
And this involved prompting the model with various questions and using rejection sampling to only keep the high-quality responses.
Rejection sampling.
Yeah, think of it like this. The model generates multiple responses to a question,
right,
and then they have a mechanism to filter out the ones that aren't good enough.
Okay.
And importantly, they expanded the types of tasks beyond just those that could be easily evaluated by rules, mm-hmm. You know, like math problems with clear right or wrong answers. They started using another DeepSeek V3 model as a judge to assess the truthfulness and quality of the reasoning.
So using AI to judge AI?
Yeah, it's a bit meta, isn't it?
It is.
And they also filtered out the chaotic and hard-to-understand outputs, which resulted in a data set of around 600,000 reasoning-focused examples.
So they're essentially using the already well-trained model to generate even better training data for the next stage.
Exactly. It's a very clever approach to continually improve the quality of the data they're using.
And what about the non-reasoning data that was also included? You mentioned that earlier.
Right. So in addition to the reasoning-focused data, they also incorporated around 200,000 examples of non-reasoning tasks from their existing DeepSeek V3 training pipeline.
Okay.
This included things like creative writing, answering factual questions, even tasks involving self-reflection.
Self-reflection for an AI. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
What does that even look like?
Well, it could involve prompts like describe your strengths and weaknesses as a language model, things like that.
Fascinating.
And the idea here is to make sure that DeepSeek R1 remains a well-rounded language model, capable of handling a wide range of tasks beyond just reasoning.
So it's not just a specialist, it's also a generalist in the world of language models.
Precisely. They're aiming for a model that can excel in many different areas.
And then the final stage of training is yet another round of reinforcement learning.
Yes. This stage is called reinforcement learning for all scenarios.
Yeah.
And it's where they really focus on aligning the model with human preferences.
In terms of
primarily helpfulness and harmlessness.
Okay. Which are obviously very important considerations when you're developing AI systems that will interact with people.
Absolutely. You want to make sure that these systems are not only intelligent, but also beneficial and safe.
Right.
So in this final stage, they use a combination of reward signals, both rule-based and model-based, to guide the model towards generating responses that are both helpful and harmless.
And they continue to refine its reasoning abilities as well.
Exactly. It's a comprehensive approach to ensure that the model is well-rounded and aligned with human values.
And the evaluation results, as presented in Table 4 of the paper, seem to validate all this effort, right?
They do. DeepSeek R1 achieves performance comparable to OpenAI's o1-1217 model on those key reasoning benchmarks, like AIM 2024 and Math 500.
Wow.
And it even slightly outperforms o1-1217 on the AIM benchmark.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it also demonstrated expert-level ability in competitive coding tasks and strong performance on knowledge benchmarks.
So it's really a top performer across a wide range of challenging tasks.
It is. It's a significant step forward in both reasoning and general capabilities.
And the only area where it seems to fall a little short is on a Chinese question-answering task, which they attribute to the safety RL, potentially making it a bit too cautious in its responses.
Right. That's an interesting trade-off to consider. You know, you want the model to be safe, but you also don't want it to be so risk-averse that it hinders its performance.
Yeah. Finding that balance is going to be crucial as we develop more advanced AI systems.
Absolutely. It's an ongoing challenge in the field.
Now, the paper also discusses distillation, which is a concept we've touched on before. But can you remind us what it is and why it's relevant in this context?
Sure. So distillation is essentially the process of taking the knowledge and abilities of a larger, more powerful AI model like DeepSeek R1 and transferring them to smaller, more efficient models.
Okay.
Think of it like this. You have a really brilliant professor who has a wealth of knowledge, but they can only teach a limited number of students.
Right.
So you have them train a group of teaching assistants who can then share that knowledge with a much larger group of students.
That makes sense.
And in this case, they took that 800,000 example data set they created with DeepSeek R1 and used it to directly fine-tune smaller open source models like those in the Qwen and Llama families.
So they're using the larger model to teach the smaller model.
Exactly. And importantly, for this transfer process, they only use supervised fine-tuning, no additional reinforcement learning. It's all about making the reasoning power of that larger model accessible in a more compact and computationally cheaper form.
And how successful was this distillation process?
Well, the results are quite impressive, actually.
Okay.
Table 5 in the paper shows significant improvements in the reasoning abilities of these smaller models after distillation.
Like what kind of improvements?
For example, their 7 billion parameter distilled Qwen model outperformed GPT-4.0.5.13 across several benchmarks.
Wow.
And the 14 billion parameter version surpassed Qwen's own 32 billion parameter preview model. So they're really punching above their weight, so to speak.
Yeah, it's like they've inherited some of the intelligence from that bigger model.
Exactly. And this is a crucial finding because it suggests that we might not always need these massive resource-intensive models to achieve strong reasoning.
Right.
If we can effectively transfer that ability from larger models to smaller ones.
That's a really important point, especially as we think about making AI more accessible and sustainable.
Absolutely. It opens up a lot of possibilities.
And the paper even explores a comparison between using distillation versus directly applying reinforcement learning to these smaller models.
Yes. They wanted to see which approach was more effective.
And what did they find?
So they took a smaller base model, Qwen 32B base, and trained it using large-scale reinforcement learning, similar to how they trained DeepSeek R1.0 initially.
Okay.
And then they compare its performance to the distilled DeepSeek R1 model, the one that learned from the bigger model.
And what were the results?
Well, the RL-trained smaller model performed similarly to Qwen's own preview model, but it was noticeably worse than the distilled model across all the reasoning benchmarks.
So the model that learned by example from the bigger model performed better than the one that learned through direct reinforcement learning.
Exactly. And this suggests that at least for achieving strong reasoning in smaller models, distillation might be a more efficient and effective approach than large-scale RL alone.
So it's like having a good teacher can be more beneficial than just trying to figure things out on your own.
It's a great analogy, and it highlights the value of leveraging existing knowledge and expertise.
But they also point out that pushing the absolute boundaries of AI intelligence likely still requires both having a powerful base model and using large-scale reinforcement learning.
Right. Distillation is a fantastic tool, but it's not a magic bullet. To really achieve breakthrough results, you likely still need that strong foundation of a very capable model to start with.
That makes sense. It's like saying even with the best teachers, you still need talented students who are willing to put in the effort.
Exactly. It's a combination of factors that leads to exceptional outcomes.
Now, the paper also briefly mentions some unsuccessful attempts they had during their research. And I always find those sections really insightful because you learn from the failures as much as from the successes.
I agree. It's important to understand the challenges and the paths that didn't quite work out.
So what were some of the difficulties they encountered?
Well, one interesting area where they faced hurdles was with process reward models, or PRMs.
Okay, remind me what PRMs are again.
So the idea behind PRMs is to try and reward the model for taking correct individual steps in its reasoning process, not just for getting the final answer right.
Right, so rewarding the process as well as the outcome.
Exactly, but they found it really difficult to define what exactly constitutes a correct step in general reasoning. You know, it's not always so clear-cut.
Yeah, reasoning can be messy and non-linear.
Right, and automatically evaluating the correctness of these intermediate steps proved to be a major challenge.
I can see how that would be tricky.
And they were also concerned about the potential for reward hacking, where the model might learn to produce steps that look good to the reward model, but don't actually lead to better problem solving.
It's like a student trying to impress the teacher with fancy words without really understanding the concepts.
Exactly. So while PRMs might be useful in some specific contexts, they found that the benefits were limited compared to the computational costs in their large-scale experiments.
So not a dead end, but not the breakthrough they were hoping for.
Right. More research is needed in that area.
And what was the other approach they explored that didn't pan out as they'd hoped?
The other interesting one was Monte Carlo Tree Search, or MCTS.
MCTS, familiar name.
Yeah, it's been very successful in game-playing AI systems like AlphaGo and AlphaZero.
Right, where the AI explores different possible moves and tries to find the best path to victory.
Exactly. So they tried to apply this approach to language modeling, where the model would explore different reasoning paths.
Okay.
But they ran into a couple of major issues. One was the sheer vastness of the search space.
In what sense?
Well, in a game like chess, there's a limited number of possible moves at each turn.
Right.
But in language modeling, the model can generate any sequence of words. So the number of possible paths is exponentially larger.
Ah, I see. It becomes a much more complex problem to search through all those possibilities.
Exactly. And the other challenge was training an accurate value model, which is a component that helps guide the search process towards promising directions. They found it very difficult to train a value model that was reliable enough to lead to consistent improvements through self-exploration.
So MCTS might be helpful for a well-trained model to explore solutions, but it wasn't effective for actually improving the model's reasoning abilities in this context.
That's the conclusion they reached, and it highlights just how challenging it is to apply techniques that work well in one domain, like game playing, to something as complex and nuanced as language and reasoning.
Yeah, it's not a simple translation.
Yeah, it requires a lot of adaptation and innovation.
So overall, a lot of valuable lessons learned from both their successes and their failures.
Absolutely, and I think that's one of the things that makes this research so valuable.
To wrap things up, what would you say are the key takeaways for someone listening to our deep dive into DeepSeek R1 and the research behind it?
Well, I think there are a few major points to remember. First, DeepSeek R1-0 showed us that it is indeed possible to train a large language model to reason very effectively using only reinforcement learning without any initial supervised fine-tuning.
That's a big one.
It opens up a whole new way of thinking about how we train these models.
Right. And then DeepSeek R1 built on that success by incorporating cold start data and this multi-stage training process to further enhance the reasoning capabilities and make the model more usable.
Exactly. They addressed the limitations of the previous model and pushed the boundaries even further.
And perhaps the most practically significant takeaway is the effectiveness of distillation for transferring those reasoning abilities to smaller, more efficient models.
Absolutely. This has huge implications for making advanced AI more accessible and less resource intensive.
Yeah. That's a game changer.
And going back to that aha moment we discussed with DeepSeek R1-0, I think it really underscores how these models, when given the right incentives and the right training environment, can develop sophisticated problem-solving strategies that we might not have explicitly programmed in.
That's a profound idea.
It is. It suggests that we might be able to create AI systems that are more creative and adaptable than we ever thought possible.
It's like we're giving them the tools to learn and discover on their own. And the results are really exciting.
It's a very different paradigm from traditional programming, where we try to anticipate every possible scenario.
Right. It's more about guiding their learning than dictating their behavior.
Exactly. And the DeepSeek AI team has some really interesting future directions for DeepSeek R1.
Like what?
Well, they want to improve its general abilities beyond just reasoning. You know, things like function calling, handling multi-turn conversations, making it even more versatile.
So making it more like a truly intelligent assistant.
Yeah, exactly. And they also want to further address the language mixing issue, gain a better understanding of how the model responds to different prompts, and explore its application to more complex tasks, like in software engineering.
So they're really trying to push the limits of what this model can do.
Yes, and they're also looking at more efficient reinforcement learning techniques, because as we discussed, training these models can be very computationally expensive.
Right. Finding ways to make the training process more efficient is going to be crucial as these models get even larger and more complex.
Absolutely. It's a key area of focus for the field.
So as we consider the success of pure reinforcement learning and fostering reasoning and the effectiveness of distillation in transferring that capability, it really makes you think about the future trajectory of AI development.
It does.
What are the big implications here for how we might build truly intelligent and efficient AI systems in the years to come?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is.
I think we're just beginning to scratch the surface of what's possible when it comes to incentivizing intelligence in machines. And the work being done by teams like DeepSeek AI is giving us some really valuable clues about the path forward.
It's an exciting time to be following this field, that's for sure.
It is, and I think we're going to see some truly remarkable breakthroughs in the coming years.
I can't wait to see what they come up with next. It's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, me too. The possibilities are endless.
And as we wrap up our deep dive today, it leaves us with a really intriguing question for our listeners to ponder.
Okay.
Given the success of pure reinforcement learning in developing reasoning abilities and the power of distillation to transfer those abilities to smaller models, what new kinds of training paradigms might we see emerge in the future?
Good question.
Might we see approaches that combine these techniques in unexpected ways, or perhaps completely new approaches that we haven't even imagined yet?
It's certainly possible. And I think the key is going to be finding the right balance between the scale of these models, the quality of the training data, and the power of self-discovery through reinforcement learning.
It's a fascinating challenge and one that will likely keep researchers busy for many years to come.
Absolutely. There's a lot of work to be done, but the potential rewards are immense.